Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Creative Differences Podcast, the podcast that, like the new Superman, has been accused of being too woke. My name is Dallas, and to quote a random Instagram post I saw, the only ice we respect is the ice around the Fortress of Solitude.
I'm Cassie, and David Corn Sweat, call me. I am free any day of the week, please.
It's going to be that kind of episode.
That is the thirst that we need here. I am Demi, and my Letterboxd recent activity is Superman 2025, Superman, the Christopher Reeve story, Superman Returns, and Superman 4, The Quest for Peace. Time for me to watch something else. Welcome to the Creative Differences Podcast, your one-stop shop for movie reviews, Fancast Fridays, Throwback Thursdays, and a number of other pop culture-related items. Today, we will be talking about Superman, obviously, but we will also be talking about Ironheart and Poker Face.
Yep. Also, speaking of thirst, Gabby's not here today. So last week, I told you that Gabby was trying to build a learning robot based on Florence Pugh. She was not able to do that, so she has pivoted this week to an AI based on Florence. Gabby, we wish you luck. Make sure it's not murderous or whatever.
I don't like that one.
I don't either, but I'm not going to tell my friend not to do the thing she's doing.
That's I am.
She's grown.
Don't do it, Gabby.
Anyway, audience, please like, share, subscribe, hit buttons, tell people, send it to all your friends, all your woke friends, because if you do, then we can spread the woke mind virus to the farthest reaches of the internet.
And to the farthest reaches of the universe.
Yeah, just like Superman. What did we say we're starting with? Poker Face?
Yeah, we're going to start with Poker Face.
Poker Face. Poker Face is created by Rian Johnson. You know Rian Johnson. He did Knives Out. He did Brick. He did one of the Star Wars, Last Jedi.
He did one of my favorite Star Wars movies ever. Yes, Star Wars, The Last Jedi.
Yeah. He be doing stuff. Mysteries a lot. He likes mysteries. We like mysteries. That's why we're here. The show stars Natasha Lyonne and features everybody and their mama, just like last season.
Yeah.
And the IMDb summary is, Charlie has an extraordinary ability to determine when someone is lying. She hits the road with her Plymouth Barracuda, trademark, and with every stop encounters a new cast of characters and strange crimes she can't help but investigate and solve. And the Dallas summary is, Charlie needs to mind her business because she's going to get killed.
But then we wouldn't have a show.
Then we wouldn't have a show. It's one of those situations, definitely. But girl. You in danger, girl.
Why do you keep doing this? You in danger, girl. I love this show so much. I don't know if season two like matches up to season one, but it's still just such a fun show. And I consistently love the concept of it. And even if like one episode doesn't do it for me, there's definitely another episode that is.
Yeah, it's the fortunate thing about anthologies, because I will say that I like last season more. I think partially just because like the idea was newer and fresher last season. And also, last season had Ron Perlman, and it didn't have this goofy-ass alligator episode that I didn't like the season. But like you said, if one doesn't work, the next one might. And there are a couple, like, we had a couple episodes back-to-back in this season that were two of my favorites of the whole show.
We had, like, some, like a three-episode hitter, like, nonstop, just, like, it was so good every single week.
Yeah, it was nailing it. But yeah, it's a fun premise. Fun characters.
Oh, yeah.
We get to see a bunch of actors
that we love. I love
Natasha
Lyonne.
She's really good in this.
Natasha's so great as Charlie, which is why I think she ended up on like our top 10. I think both of our top 10 favorite actors of the year that Poker Face first released, maybe. I think she was on mine.
I think it's been a couple years. I think it's hard to say. But
it's been a while. But we both loved her in that first season. And like, I mean, Charlie is just such a great character. And like, I didn't suspect that would change in season two at all. Like, so Natasha Lyonne is still amazing.
Yeah, and her performance, especially in the last episode, when, spoiler, she starts crying because of, like, where she ends up in the season. I'm just like, oh, yeah, she's really good at acting.
That was so crazy. I was like, oh, my gosh, wait, hold on. I'm hurt. I'm in pain. I don't want this to happen.
I was like, I came here to laugh at murders. Then here we
Which
are.
Which is crazy. I did bring that up one day where I was like, this is a show where it's a very funny show.
Yes.
And every episode I'm like, I'm always like gleeful or joyful when like the episode ends, because it's such a good show. It's got a lot of levity. It's very lighthearted to a degree. But then I'm also reminded at the end every single time, I'm like, oh wait, but this is also a tragedy. Somebody died. Like, somebody was murdered.
Yeah.
This is a sad, sad thing that we have witnessed. Like the episode with Awkwafina, like the death in that one, I was like, That's tragic. That's a tragic ending.
That was really rough.
I've spent most of this episode laughing.
Yeah.
And, like, this show's ability to balance, like, those two things, it's, like, so well done.
Yeah, 100%. Because that one, like, we have to deal with the family ramifications of that murder. And then the one with Sam Richardson and dude whose name I can't think
and,
of.
Oh, and Corey. Corey Hawkins.
Yes, thank you. That is one of the ones that's, like, one of my favorites ever. Like, they're all so great. Sam Richardson is hilarious. The fact that he's a movie nerd, like, it resonated with me. And I was like, oh, Demi's going
to
love this.
Oh, my gosh. So many movie references in that episode to the point where, like, spoiler alert, but not really a spoiler alert, I guess. He has a locker combination on his lock. And the numbers are, like, the rankings of Mission Impossible movies, which is almost exactly my same ranking of Mission Impossible movies.
I also love the type of character that Charlie is, because Charlie, like, as she's going through it, references them, how she remembers which one is which.
Yes.
She was like, okay. That
and she's right.
She's on the plane in that one, and that one's Henry Cavill does the muscle thing. It's like, this is a great, like, everyday person way to, like, wait, which one is which? But yeah. Also,
so good.
That episode gave us romance in a way I didn't expect Poker Face to give us.
I love Charlie and Corey Hawkins characters.
It, like, worked so well. And I was like, oh, that's okay.
I was not expecting that.
Me either.
But it was great. And also, because that episode is the episode that it is, like, it's making so many movie references, it's got a lot of rom-com tropes in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it does it really, really fast. Like, it does it in a way that's like, here are some shortcuts that help you know that this is where this is supposed to be going, but it does it really effectively, that it doesn't feel like we're speed running through a romance. It just feels like, oh, yeah, we're witnessing romance happen right in front of our eyes.
Yeah.
And it's so good.
That was great. And the friend played by Geraldine, I can't remember her last name.
This Swanathan.
Yeah. She came in. I was like, oh, snap, it's her. And she was like the rom-com guide for Charlie.
Yeah. Loved her. One of my favorite episodes is actually the season premiere. Shout out to Cynthia Erivo playing five different characters and killing it the entire time.
And five characters, most of whom are over the top. So she's just like having a great time with it.
I loved reading her interviews about doing those characters, because she was like, I created a lot for all five of them because I wanted to really differentiate between who these characters were. Like the one who has a French accent and like studied in Quebec or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't, the French was not written into the script. That was something that Cynthia added to that character.
So silly.
And it's so amazing. And also, like, there are several scenes in that episode where Cynthia is just playing a character opposite to her other character.
Yeah, like the sisters are all talking to each other.
And she's doing it really well. Or even just like one sister talking to the other one. We've got a really long take in the episode of like one of her characters coming in and doing something and disappearing into another room. And then another one of her characters coming out from somewhere else and doing something else and then disappearing. Yeah. And then that other character coming back out from the other room. Like, it's so good. And she's so good at, like I said, like differentiating between all of these characters. And I think me and you both agree that we love watching actors play multiple characters in a singular thing, because it's so fun to see like the range that they can bring, especially on a show like this, which is like very funny and like it can be that ridiculous.
Yeah,
she's got characters who are super ridiculous, and then you've got like her main one, which isn't nearly as ridiculous as the other ones.
Yeah, the like kind of normal one. And speaking of kind of normal, I love when Charlie gets to be like basically like the straight man for the weird people around her. Cause even in that episode, I guess cops or whoever's like investigating, one of them, like a foot shows up on the beach and then is gone. And then one of them is like, well, you can't expect a human foot to wind up on the beach and no one take it. And Charlie's like, I don't know. It seems like a humble enough expectation. I would think you could expect that.
Yeah, it's so good. I also really wanted to shout out Cynthia Erivo, because, man, that woman is having a year, isn't she? She's doing, like, everything.
She's busy.
A TV show, a movie, a play, a book, an album, a Tony Award hosting. Like,
she's been busy getting that bag.
She is, and good for her. I think this was just a great episode for her and to really show off what she can do. And perfect timing for it to come out, especially after Wicked just released.
Yeah, and she riding that moment
was huge. Yeah, like I don't think there was no way while filming that episode of Poker Face they could have known that Wicked was going to explode the way that it did.
Right.
And just in time for their show to come out and for her to be in their premiere.
Yeah. Also, so I have to talk about episode 6 and my experience being very worried because it's the one with the school.
Is that the school one?
Yes. So I'm watching it and, you know, they usually start with the murder and they introduce the victims and it starts with a bunch of kids. So I'm like, I'm pretty sure none of these kids are going to get killed, but I'm still a little uneasy.
I hope not.
And then they're not even showing the adults in the beginning of the episode. Like, they're not showing their faces. And I'm like, so we're supposed to be focused on these kids. This show is about
murders. It's very Charlie Brown-esque.
Yeah. I'm like, what's going to happen? And then you get a little girl Googling how to murder a boys. And then it sits for a second. And then it says, that's how to murder a boy. And then it says, self-esteem. And I was like, Jesus, what are we doing? But that,
yo, the little girl in that episode,
scariest villain in the whole show.
She's so good.
Terrifying. But yeah, great actress. Terrifying character.
Yeah, I was like very early on in the episode, I was like, what is this sociopath child? What is happening here?
That's why I don't want kids. They're scary. Little monsters. Don't
Not all
them.
Of them are scary.
That's what
not
they want
all
you
of
to
them
think.
Are like that. That's not a good example.
Gabby is constantly telling us that every child is a psychopath.
I don't think she's right.
She has a kid.
I know.
She has the most experience of all of us in the field.
I don't know if she has the most experience, but...
I mean, like, of us, as far as, like, raising
maybe.
A child.
I have I witnessed parenthood very up close and personal from the age of 16, and they're
yeah,
not
true.
All psychopaths.
I mean, yeah, I want to say, officially, I also don't agree with Gabby's assertion that all children are psychopaths, but they are little monsters. Teach your kids to be good people so they don't go on the internet talking about how superheroes are too woke because there are black people in them.
Oh, I can't wait for us to get into that. But speaking of superheroes with black people in them.
Ironheart. It's here. It's here. And the internet has
finally
been interneting as it does. Because we can always count on that. Forget all that. Let's talk about who made it. Ironheart is created by Chinaka Hodge. She is a rapper and writer and poet and educator. As far as TV goes, she wrote for Snowpiercer and The Midnight Club, that show that I'm trying to get Cassie to watch and never will. Past the first 10 minutes. And I know her primarily as a rapper. She's a frequent collaborator of Davi Diggs, Rafael Casal, and Watsky, which is why the character in Blindspotting, their friend, is named Knock, which is short for Chinaka. Fun fact, if you like Blindspotting, like us.
We are big fans.
We are big fans. Davi, a close personal best friend of the podcast. Shout out to him. The show stars Dominique Thorne, Lyric Ross, Manny Montana, Matthew Elam, Angie White, Eric Andre, Cree Summer, Sonia Denis, Shea Coulee, Zoe Tarakis, Shakira Barrera, Anthony Ramos, Alden Ehrenreich, Reagan Aaliyah, Sacha Baron Cohen. I realized as I put that list together that it's too long, but then I started thinking, who to cut out? I don't want to cut anybody out. Let's give everybody their little shine on our little podcast. IMDb summary is... Genius teenage inventor Riri Williams creates the most advanced suit of armor since Iron Man. Yeah,
sure. It feels very reductive and not what the story is really about, but all right.
Initial thoughts. I like it. Didn't love it. There are parts about it that I really, really rock with. For the most part, I'm like, yep, this is a decent Marvel show, which is what I've come to expect. Usually a pretty decent Marvel show. But I am happy that it exists, and I'm happy for everybody involved. And if you've been on the internet complaining about it, suck a fat one. Jimmy, what are your thoughts?
I really enjoyed this show a lot. I am somebody who really enjoys when Black people get to exist in urban fantasy, sci-fi
Same.
Genres. And I felt like this was a show that, like, I was like, oh, man, this is a show that I needed. Like, this is a show that I have been kind of dying for, like this. Black girl existing in a world of like science fiction where she builds an Iron Man suit and she creates this incredible AI, which for the record, my favorite AI interface ever.
I have thoughts on that.
I love her. I love Natalie so much. Also being a fantasy show on top of that, there is magic. And Reagan Aaliyah's character is one of my favorite additions to the MCU. Like, I hope to see
she's
more
great.
Of that character. She's amazing. And she's only in like the last half of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I thought it was great. And on top of that, I thought it was also a good story about grief and PTSD and even codependency and addiction, which I didn't see coming. That was not
right.
something I thought that this show would be, but I thought that they did a really good job touching on those topics and using magic and using Riri's trauma to using Natalie as an AI to really demonstrate the grief and the PTSD and even the codependency as well.
Mm-hmm. So about Riri and her grief and her PTSD and her AI, I really enjoy Natalie as a character and as a friend and as a buddy. She is great. That is the worst AI in Marvel. Like, how?
I love her. How, I love her so much.
As an AI, are you prone to panic attacks? I understand how in the context of the show, but when I need you
is
to help me...
Is she having panic attacks or is Riri having panic attacks?
Both. The first... Riri has several, but the first time since creating the AI that Riri is in actual danger, when a dude pulls a gun on her, she's like, Nat, close the suit. And Nat has a panic attack. The AI freezes and has an anxiety attack.
Oh, right,
and
I'm like,
you can't do that because you need to protect me. I get to do that.
I think I really enjoy it because, like, now mind you, I'm anti-AI in our actual world.
Makes sense.
But within the realm of fiction, I think I really like Natalie because the show makes a point of... When Riri's like, I want to build something iconic, everybody thought that she was talking about the Iron Man suit, when really what she builds that's iconic is Natalie, because what she creates is more than just an AI interface. She creates life, basically. Natalie is a person almost, but not quite. Mm-hmm. But she is enough of a person that she still, the trauma still affects her as well, which is kind of what makes what Riri has created incredible, because it's not just programming. It's like, no, this thing has an actual personality, which is insane.
Which is great.
Which is why I really like the character.
Yeah, she's a great character and she's a great friend. If I tell you Run Diagnostics, don't give me attitude and say, nah, not until you take me out to go get some ice cream or whatever. Like, Nick,
that's what makes it so fun.
You are bad at your job. Like, if the little paperclip from Microsoft was like, not feeling it, you gotta make your own template today. Like, nigga.
Yeah.
Move.
That is what makes Natalie more than just Jarvis or Karen or Friday, you know, like she is mm-hmm. more than that. And that's why people are always amazed whenever they find out about Natalie. I thought that relationship was really good, though. It is a really fun relationship between Riri and Natalie.
Mm-hmm.
The balance of like their friendship and also like kind of the trauma bond that they don't really realize that they have. And the codependency that Riri has on Natalie and like what that says about her character and how much she cares about her friend and what she's been through. That's the type of stuff I really enjoyed on this show.
That makes sense. A lot of the relationship stuff is a lot of fun. Frustrating to me. Riri's pretty frustrating in general. Like, I really enjoyed Dominique Thorne's performance, despite her sounding like she is from the Brooklyn part of Chicago. But like, as a character... A lot of this show is, well, if it isn't the consequences of my own actions. And
as every show kind of has to be.
Dominique Thorne talked about, like, specifically Riri, like, not understanding the consequences of the things she does. And it's to the point where it's like, yo, girl, just, like, sit and think for a second. Just sit and think for a second. Don't.
Yeah, then we wouldn't have a show.
Don't hook up with the... Don't get together with the shady dude immediately after getting yourself kicked out of school for doing something that will get you kicked out of any school. And you're so smart. Be smart. And listen to your hot mom and talk to her and stop just like
your
talking to her.
Your hot mom is hilarious.
It's accurate. And talk to her like black kids talk to their mom. Don't say, if you don't want me to lie to you, then don't ask me those questions. That is not part of our culture, Riri. We do not talk to our moms like that.
So my biggest drawback of the show, and it's not even like the show's fault, it's just a general, that's the era of television we're currently in problem. Please stop giving television seasons 6 to 8 episodes. Can we get a solid 10? The problem that I've had with the Marvel shows that have 6 episodes is that we like start and then we get to episode 3, which is your midpoint. And mm-hmm. in any show, like once you've hit your midpoint, now we're really about to ramp up until we get to like the end of the show. Like, it's time for us to kind of start, like, heating up and then cooling down, like, very fast. And it's just like, I haven't had enough time to really sit with these characters.
Yeah.
The first half of this show is like a heist show, and it's a really good heist show on top of that. I really enjoyed that aspect of the show. It was really fun watching these different like MCU style heists. It was really, really cool. But we don't get to see Riri like really, really get herself entangled in this group of criminals before she's trying to get out.
Yeah, it's like, I'm here. Oh no, something went bad. Gotta get out of here. And then, all right, well, halfway through the show now. But yeah.
I really did enjoy like the show, and I love the concept of the show and everything that they were like doing with it. And I love the tech meets magic aspect.
That's
of the
really
show.
Cool. Akris Summer and her daughter are my favorite part of the show. Also love that I'm like 99% sure Akris Summer just brought her own wardrobe for the show, because that's just how she'd be dressing. But yeah, like her and her daughter, that whole element of it made it a lot more interesting to me. And I was like, hey, also, I just love Akris Summer. Shout out to her. She's a legend.
She's amazing.
Yeah, but that was all great.
Yeah, I really liked these characters. I wanted to see more of these characters. I liked the surprise character that we got towards the end of the show. I won't say who it is.
Yeah, Marvel.
In case people haven't seen yet.
MCU fans have been clamoring for that character.
They have. And it's crazy that it came in this show. And
not
I think
where
it's
I expected
funny.
It. Not where I expected it at all.
I also really enjoyed the ending of this show. And I'm like, are we getting a season two? Is that a thing you guys are going to give us? Because where it leaves off, I'm like, it plants a seed for such an interesting, like, where we could go next with the show.
Yeah.
And like, because Riri, like, this is a superhero show that's really not about the superheroing.
Honestly, yeah.
It really is just about Riri and her problems and who she is as a person. The show even ends on Riri still being extremely flawed. She still makes a bad decision at the end of the season. And I'm so fascinated.
That one was frustrating in a very understandable way, considering everything that's been happening. It's like, this is probably the worst decision you've made in the show, but I get why you did this one.
Yeah. I would love to see more of this show. I think it would be a lot of fun. It is already a really fun show. It would be great to continue. I do want to shout out Alden Ehrenreich, who is an actor who I have been a fan of since 2013. I loved him on this show.
He's really good.
He was great. I would love to see more of his character. I would love to see where his and Riri's relationship develops into. This was a good show. People were up in arms, as they do, and it turned out to just be a good show.
And speaking of people being up in arms because of anti-blackness, Cassie, why didn't you watch this show? Is it the anti-blackness? Is it the massage noir?
So it's funny that you say that, because that is actually my primary critique of the movie Sinners. Anyway, so... no, I just didn't watch it because I didn't care.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That's actually what I thought the answer would be. But officially, on the record,
no,
you're not beating the anti. You're not beating the allegations. This was your chance.
You got to stop alleging. You can stop alleging
anytime.
You're
giving me reasons to allege.
Why are you trying to drag me down?
Just trying to support black women, Kathy.
Support me then.
I'm supporting Dominique Thorne right now. I'll get to you. Mm-hmm. You're on the list. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shout out to Robert Downey Jr. for being a black man who continues to support black women.
Oh my God.
That's my favorite meme on the internet right now. It's so funny. It's so hilarious. And I love that black Twitter, which does not exist anymore, but like it feels like that's a black Twitter thing to have said. So I'm saying it's Twitter's fault. That's one of my favorite memes to come out of this whole thing is people saying that. That's so funny.
We remember you fondly, black Twitter.
You were the best part of Twitter.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of social media, a social media firestorm, Superman has created one.
Gotcha. I was like, what? Yeah, sure. Everything does. Superman. It is
more
written,
superheroes.
More superheroes. Where people are flying, people are fighting, people are punching. It is written and directed by James Gunn. You probably know James Gunn if you're listening to a movie podcast. But in case you don't, Guardians of the Galaxy, Super, The Suicide Squad, not to be confused with Suicide Squad. He's in charge of DC now. Future Commandos.
Love that for him.
Lots of stuff. He also wrote the Scooby-Doo movie.
Peacemaker, coming soon. A Scooby-Doo movie, which we referenced recently in our Superman 1978 reaction.
Yeah, shout out to that. Movie stars, David Corenswet, Rachel Brosnahan, Nicholas Holt, Eddie Gathegi, Anthony Kerrigan, Nathan Fillion, and Isabella Merced. There are other people too, That's where my list stops.
You didn't go as all in as you did with Ironheart.
You know, the secret to that is I copy them from Wikipedia. And TV shows have very long cast lists on Wikipedia. Y'all don't need the IMDb summary. It's Superman. You know what Superman is. Let's get into it. We've all seen this one. All three of us saw it. Because Cassie is not as reluctant to support white men as she is to support black women. Cassie,
I saw this
what
movie
are your thoughts?
For you specifically, because you
Me
said in our group chat that you like it better when we've all seen the thing. So I saw this
I
for
did.
You.
I did. I should,
and I saw it.
I should take that back.
Before whatever. Both of you.
You did. You did. Still not Wild. Beating the allegations, but I do appreciate
anyway.
That. Cassie, what are your thoughts?
Nigga. I liked it. It was fun. I mean, I'm not, like, into Superman, so I'm not really judging it as, like, a how does it portray Superman, or what version of Superman, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But, like, it was fun. I liked it a lot as the start of a universe, as, like, a this is kind of the first taste of what this is going to be. You know, the only thing I can compare it to is the DCEU. Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that one was fine, but it was very dark, both in tone and literally, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this feels a lot more hopeful and fun, and it makes me more interested in what it could be. I liked it. It's kind of the thing that, like, the more I think about it, the more I like what it's doing and how timely it feels.
Okay.
Yeah,
but overall, I mean, it's a solid good time. I don't see any reason why anyone would, like, super dislike it, except for, you know.
Dean Cain?
I don't even know what he said or why.
He said that they were making Superman too political by pointing out the fact that he's an immigrant. Anyway.
That's his whole
Dallas,
backstory.
Your initial thoughts?
So much fun.
That's why we don't acknowledge him.
Yeah. We haven't in a while. It's so much fun. I very much enjoyed it. Shout out Superman. Shout out James Gunn. Shout out Eddie Gathegi in particular. He was great. Those are my initial thoughts.
My initial thoughts are Superman is back, baby. And has there ever been a more comic book movie than this? I don't think so. I don't think any comic book movie has, like, shoved you into a comic book as, like, hard as this one has.
Yay.
I would argue that only because I think you literally go into a comic book in the first, like, 30 seconds of the original movie. So
yeah, but here's the thing. So here's my thing. I feel like this is the first Superman movie that isn't bringing Superman into our world so much as it is bringing us into the DC universe. This does not feel like our universe at all. I knew that from the moment they started talking about pocket dimensions and stuff. I was like, oh, we're getting, like, real comic booky very, very fast.
Yeah, that's one thing I really like about James Gunn is that he is not afraid to go all in with the comic book stuff to the point where, like, some of it's going to be goofy, some of it's going to look silly, but that's what we're here for. It's a comic book movie. Comic books are silly and goofy. That's why Mr. Terrific has that ridiculous little T on his face, because comic book movies are silly. That's why they're fighting a big purple, what do you call it, an imp in the sky while he's having a conversation.
An interdimensional imp.
Which is weird, because that's how you would describe a mixture spitlick, who's like a little
yes.
short man in a hat. But
which means that could happen, though. Like, we could.
He would definitely do that.
I don't think there's a live-action Superman movie where I feel like Mr. Mixlisplick, whatever the heck, however you pronounce it, where he could exist. And this is the first time I felt like he could in this universe. He could in this movie.
He probably will, and I can't wait.
Also, for the record, before this movie came out, I did do months of preparation before this movie came out, which consisted of watching Superman the Animated Series for
yeah.
Dallas's benefit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I watched Superman and Lois, just because I had never seen it. I watched Superman 2, Superman 3, Superman 4, The Quest for Peace, Superman Returns, and I also read All-Star Superman and Superman for All Seasons. So there was a lot of Superman prep for me leading up to this. And I think after watching this movie, I can, like, solidly confirm that I am absolutely a Superman fan. Like, I love this character. Superman is probably one of my favorite DC characters. And I should have known that when Dallas asked me after I finished Justice League, the cartoon, who my favorite character was, and my answer was Superman. Like,
yeah, that's a good litmus to know.
That should have been when I knew. But man, like, live action wise, it's hard to play Superman because of, like, what the character represents. Christopher Reeve set like the golden standard back in 78. But also like Superman's just a larger than life character. And I think David Cornsweet actually makes it look easy.
He did a really good job.
He's very good at Superman. Like, I really enjoyed his depiction of this character. But also, I really enjoy the writing for this character. Like, that's the big blue Boy Scout that I've been waiting for the last several years.
And they did it in a way that, shout out to the DCAU, which also does this. They don't completely sand down his edges or, like, make him too, like, it's not just, golly gee, it's like, there's that too, but it's also, like, when he's arguing with Lois about why he did what he did, he's like, yo, I had to do this. Like, I'm not just gonna let everybody just go about their business because I shouldn't get involved. It's like, people are going to die. You're not gonna make me feel bad about doing the right thing. And it's like, yeah, he has that little edge to him. He yells, he gets upset.
He's, you know, kind and compassionate, but he also struggles under the weight of the responsibility of having to be a savior to the world, right? Like, that is the responsibility that he puts on himself because, you know, with great power comes great responsibility, and he just inherently kind of knows that.
Wow, you're just going to throw in the Uncle Ben quote in Superman. That's crazy.
I am. But also, he's been raised by two of the best people that you could possibly be raised by, which I think the movie is trying to really emphasize. I also love this Ma and Pa Kent.
They were great. They were so sweet. I just love them.
Sweet as a people.
They're so sweet.
Also, let Superman keep this Pa Kent, because I don't want to lose him.
Yeah, that's going to be real sad.
That would be rough.
It's going to be real sad. We don't need to see that.
I love Rachel Brosnahan's depiction of Lois Lane, probably my favorite live action depiction of Lois Lane.
I think mine too. I haven't seen as many Loises as you have, live action at least.
So
have I?
I think you've seen all the live action movie ones except for one.
Okay. Well, there's also like the TV shows, like what was Tyler Hoechlin's
cinematically.
Show.
But yeah, if we just stick cinematically, then
yeah,
you've seen most of them.
Yeah, out of all those, I like Rachel. Shout out Rachel.
Yeah, I like that she feels like the comic book Lois Lane, but she still feels like modern.
And she can read. I love that. She's not illiterate.
The other one could read too. She just couldn't spell.
In theory.
We don't know if this one can't spell because Jimmy did the writing.
I really hope she can spell.
Oh, man. But yeah, I believe that Rachel Brosnahan could play Lois Lane in like any era of time. I think that she just could pull it off. It's like, you want like a 1930s Lois Lane? I think Rachel Brosnahan can do it, but also she's perfect doing a 2025 Lois Lane, and it's great. Her performance is fantastic. Their chemistry together is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cassie, you want to thirst a little bit?
Yeah, go ahead, Cassie.
No one needs that.
You know that's why you're here.
I mean, I wouldn't say that's why I'm here. I'm not Gabby.
Oh, well, that's fair. I'll say that make movies horny again. James Gunn understood that Lois and Clark must do that. I think Nicholas Holt also does a fantastic Lex Luthor.
Yeah, he killed it.
I think this is the closest cinematically that we've gotten to comic book Lex Luthor.
Yeah. Which,
like, this narcissist who absolutely hates the fact that Superman just exists.
Mm-hmm. And to be honest, he didn't have a lot of competition in terms of, like, live action movie Lex Luthor's?
Not cinematically, no.
Yeah. So I'm very glad that we got this one. Because, you know, when it came out, I was like, because of Clancy Brown's Lex Luthor, I want a Lex who looks like he could square up with somebody. Not Superman, obviously, but somebody. Nicholas Holt's not that guy. But performance-wise, personality-wise, he really fit that, like, rich. The way Kayla describes him is kind of like a petulant, spoiled
child.
Yeah. And he has all that. But also, he's a freaking sociopath. Maybe.
Yeah, but also, he has, like, this evil monologue towards the end of the film. And I was like, why is Nicholas Holt playing this like a Shakespearean play? Like, he is... It's so good. And he's giving it his all. Like, it's so great. And I think, personally for me, like, a Superman movie, like, those three performances are the one that, like, really, like, everything depends on those three performances and the writing of those three characters. Although I do really love, like, I think the whole cast is perfectly cast. I really liked the Jimmy that they've got.
Ah, I love that. Skyler, I want to say his name is. I loved him
Skyler
since Psych.
Gisondo?
Yeah, he was playing like young Sean in Psych, and I've always liked that actor. It's so cool to see him at this point in his career still working, being Jimmy. And Jimmy was hilarious.
Jimmy's so funny.
He was so funny. All the Daily Planet stuff I really liked, which is new for me, because usually they just annoy me because they can't tell that their coworker is Superman. But I like this version.
I think like my criticism is that I would have loved to see more of the Daily Planet and like their dynamics as like as the bullpen in the office. But they're so fun and they're so good. Like every like little clique of people that we get in the movie, I think are great. I think that
Justice
Nathan
Gang.
Fillion as Justice Gang. I love Nathan Fillion as Guy Gardner.
He was perfect.
He's so good, and I can't wait to see him in Lanterns. That'll be so fun.
Yeah.
Isabella Merced as a Hawk Girl. I wish that there was more of her in the movie, but she does have one like scene in the movie that I really, really enjoy that I can't talk about because it's a spoiler.
I like that too.
I like that you know exactly which one I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, 100%. Because it feels very Hawk Girl.
And then Eddie Gathegi, just
my
Mr. Terrific, kind of steals the show.
My favorite part of the movie. He was amazing. His line delivery.
He's
his
so
like,
good. Where's
monotone.
His spinoff?
He's probably getting one.
Ah, that'd be amazing. I'm also just
I
like
hope so.
There are rumors that he's getting a spinoff and somebody else too, like Jimmy, might get some. But I think if it was Mr. Terrific and Jimmy.
I
know that
it.
Mr. Terrific, Eddie has already said that he is contracted to do another DC project already that's
okay.
being written or something like that. So I know that he's coming back very soon.
Yeah. And like when he gets his own like standout action scene. It's
that's
so
one of my favorite scenes.
Good. That scene is so good. Also, the lead up to it where he's just walking past all of the soldiers and they're like, stop, stop. And the last one says stop. And he's just like, I was about to say the same thing to you. And then it starts up. And I was like, this is awesome. He's so cool.
It's not even just a great scene because like it's a great action sequence. I love the perspective of it because it's from Lois's point of view.
She's looking around like, what is going on?
She's like, whoa. And because of all the Superman movies that I've been watching recently, I do feel like Lois Lane as a character should be like the symbol of like the world's perspective, like our perspective.
Right.
Like she is representative of us. So we view Superman through her. And I love that in that action sequence, we're viewing this action sequence through her. Like, and we're amazed. We're just as amazed as she is at what she is witnessing.
Fantastic scene. Shout out Mrs.
So
Terrific. All of his lines are great. Talk about I don't really do other people's emotions.
I got to shout out my girl, Maria Gabriela DeFaria, who is playing the engineer.
The engineer.
I love Maria. She was so good on Deadly Class, and I'm so happy to see her in this Superman movie, and I hope to see her more. I hope that the Authority movie works out so that we can see more of the engineer, because I would like to see more of that character. There is not enough of her, but that's just me personally. I really like Maria, so I wanted to see more of her. But there is enough for me to be like, I'm very excited to see the future of that character. I really liked the cinematography on the movie. I thought it was very dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Thought it was really well done. Especially, like, I liked the flying sequences. I thought those were really cool.
I don't love the shots that are, like, on his face. Like, most flying shots like that I don't really love. Like, I really didn't like the one in the Batman where Pattinson's jumping off the building. But I think that's just like a personal thing. I like seeing the way Superman flies around in other shots. It's just that one is just like, this nigga out of my face.
I do like how dynamic it all looks. Like, I love the camera movements in this movie.
Yeah.
It feels like the cinematography isn't just like showing us what's happening in the movie. It's actually like telling the story of the movie through its camera movements and stuff like that, and the way that things are framed, and what cinematography is supposed to do. I think they did a great job with that. I like the emphasis of red, blue, and yellow just in the movie, just like on a visual aspect level, like not just Superman's suit, but like legitimately just in the production design, in background actors' wardrobe, in like all these different places. Like the emphasis of it, I thought was really well done.
I concur.
The story hits the ground running from the moment it starts.
Yeah. I heard James Gunn talking about how Krypton blowing up and dying is one of the things we don't really need to see anymore in movies, along with the Waynes getting blackout and Uncle Ben dying. So when it started the way it does, I'm like, all right, that's fair. I get it. I know the story.
I know the story. They also tell us the story. in the movie.
Like, bam, so bam, bam. Fine. Boom, boom. You know what happened. You're a grown-ass man.
In case you don't know that, here we go. Mm-hmm. Like, here's your recap, catch up. Let's move forward. Yeah, I've got some criticisms of the movie. I think there are moments that undercut the more serious scenes. I think that there could have been more time to breathe in the movie.
Okay.
Because the pacing does, like, really, like, we're really booking it. But, like, we are moving through the story. and I would have liked more Clark and Lois and their relationship, like, interweaved into the film. Mm. But I can't say that I would do a better job. So, like, what are we talking about here? I felt like this was a Superman movie that we needed in this moment.
Okay. I feel that. Yeah, honestly, a lot of the conflicts and stuff he deals with feel very real world right now. Like, I guess with the really big one with, like, the international issue that he's got. I'm like, yeah, that feels... Because I was talking to our friend Jesse, and he was talking about the way it starts and kind of just, like, dropping us in to the story to a certain extent, feeling like some of the stuff doesn't feel as, like, earned or set up. But I'm like, I think James Gunn was able to use the cachet of this is a character that's been established for going almost 100 years. Like,
yeah, it's
know
from
the
1938.
Story. Yeah. And then when you have the situation that he interfered in, it's like, hey, open the internet right now and you'll see a story exactly like that. So it hits already without having to, like, establish what's this country? What's that country? What are they doing? What are they doing? It's like, we know what that's like.
And the movie tells us as it goes on, like, what is the foundation of this conflict between these two countries. Also, man, one of those moments really hit me. I was, like, almost crying. I had chills in the theater that had to do with that war. Mm. I was like, yo, this scene is powerful. I was like, man, yeah, that's what I want to feel like when Superman is, like, when Superman is involved. I want to feel that way. I want us to feel, like, hope that this guy's gonna come and save the day.
Yeah, it did feel, especially like with the flag and everything, I was like, this feels very Superman.
Yeah, like the whole thing felt so Superman, and I think that's what makes me the happiest. That's what makes me happiest about this movie. It just feels good. The movie as a whole feels good.
Yeah.
And sometimes that kind of compensates for any flaws that a movie might have.
I feel that. I want to feel good when I watch a movie.
Yeah. Also, best movie in the scene to me is the Lois and Clark interview. The Lois and Superman interview. I have said to friends before that I miss, like, actor blocking in movies, and probably more like blockbusters. It's probably not a problem in indie movies,
right?
But, like, giving actors blocking in scenes that, like, denote, like, emotional beats and stuff like that, and that scene has it, and I'm just like, oh, thank God, we're filmmaking yeah. People, I love filmmaking, I love movies are great. But yeah, I didn't know that I could be more excited for the Supergirl movie that's coming out next year, but I am. And I can't wait for that movie to come next year. I'm excited about the future of this universe. It's a good start to the universe.
Oh, that is next year, isn't it?
Yep.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Looking forward to it. Hope we get to see more Crypto.
Can't wait for Lanterns to come soon.
Hell yeah. Very excited for Lanterns. Give me my True Detective in space on Earth.
And also, we've got Peacemaker season 2 coming out in, like, 2 months? Next month.
On my birthday.
Next month. All right, let's do it.
Yeah.
The DCU is off to a killer start. I loved Creature Commandos. I love this movie.
Yeah, it's going well, as I expected. James Gunn knows what he's doing.
Yeah. I never had a doubt.
Same.
Actually, quite literally. I'm not saying that ironically. I never had a doubt.
Yeah, you know, I'm always a little worried with James Gunn because he's a weird dude. He's a weird little guy. And he has a weird thing with eyes. Kayla and I noticed that, like, he likes creatures getting poked in the eye, and I don't like that at all.
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, God, this is...
Like, go for the eyes. I'm like, don't go for the eyes. Don't. Leave him alone. Stop, please.
But I get it. It is, like, with a monster like that, that's going to be the weakest point. I get it. Yeah. It's just, ugh.
Ever since the Suicide Squad, when Harley, with the thing with the spear,
man,
I'm like,
that was
this
crazy.
Is disgusting, James. You should be locked up.
But yeah, this movie feels like being dropped directly into a Superman comic, and I dig that. I want my comic book movies to feel like I'm just being dropped into the comic book that I like.
Feel that. I'm with it. All right, we talked about Superman for a while. Cassie watched something for a little while. We don't know what it is. She's about to tell us. What
is it? Well, it can only be one of
What's
five things. not under four again. So...
This time I watched the first 10 minutes of, I guess the full title is, what if, is it T'Challa became a Star-Lord or the Black Panther? I think it's T'Challa. I'm not sure.
T'Challa.
Yeah. What's the first 10 minutes
That's
of that?
That's the first thing on the list.
It is. I put a random number generator in for five numbers and it came up with one because that's how I do it.
Came with one.
Yeah. I will say, you know, we talk about the format of the 10-minute take and how sometimes you get like half an episode and then sometimes you don't get anything. And the first 2 minutes of this is not an episode. It's the Marvel credits and then the show is opening. And I'm like, you took 2 minutes to get to that damn. You know, once we get there, it's something. I mean, it's like you get an excess of banter between Star-Lord and Jaiman Hansu's character, whose name I can't remember, from Guardians. When he's basically doing the first scene of Guardians, but without the silliness, because T'Challa don't play like that. And then, you know, you get the backstory of, like, T'Challa was in Wakanda. It was like, nah, I don't want to be in Wakanda anymore. And then when the aliens came and got him, he didn't for a second think about his family. He was like, no, I'm out, which is wild to me. Wild. They picked him up, and Yondu was like, yo, this is the wrong kid. But hey, do you want to come anyway? And he's like, yes, absolutely. It's just like, bruh, do you not care? Damn.
You got parents, bro.
You have parents. You might have a sister. I don't know. She might not have been alive yet. But like, bruh, what the fuck?
So forget all that. More space.
Then like, he's in a bar with the Ravagers being like, yo, we Ravagers. What up? Thanos is there for some reason. Then, I don't know, the 10 minutes ends with some glowy lady showing up, but I don't know who the fuck that is. So,
a glowy lady. What color is she?
I think it was a white lady. It would kind of look like Emma Frost, but I don't think that's who it was.
I haven't watched this episode in a while. I don't remember that. Was Nebula in the first 10 minutes?
No.
Ah.
Gosh.
I love that
Nebula. That's so unfortunate. Yeah, that Nebula and also her relationship with the, oh my God, Cha-Cha.
Yeah, she calls him Cha-Cha. I was like, oh man, this is weird, but I love it. Femme Fatale Nebula, as I call her.
That was a ship I never saw coming.
And I love that Karen Gillan got to, like, do that, because that's a character she's never going to get to do that with outside of this show.
No.
But it worked very well. It made me feel some things. But this is about the things that Cassie feels. Cassie, what'd you think of the first 10 minutes?
No, we can go back to that. You want to expand on that?
I do not. What'd you think of the first 10 minutes?
Jesus Christ.
Dude. To be fair, this is kind of horny, the episode. I don't see why we can't just...
Glad I didn't make it to that. You know, it was...
You started this off. You started
you
the episode with it.
Kind of start this off.
You started the intro with it.
Listen.
The consequences of my own actions.
You know, it was...
the basis of every story ever.
It was something. Like, it's the... you know, I hadn't watched What If. There's a reason I haven't watched What If, because What If is for... You have to really like the MCU, and I don't give a shit about the MCU anymore, so it's like, I like you better as Black Panther, I guess, but
I feel like, What If, like, obviously it helps if you're into the MCU, but I feel like some of the stories are like, maybe you don't really care about the MCU, but it's like, okay, what if they did this? That might be more fun. It might be more interesting. It might be less fun. It might be less interesting. But I feel like you don't have to be like a MCU ride or die to watch these one-off stories.
So I feel like in some sense you do, because part of the interest is in the contrast. And if you don't have
right, like
that,
seeing
I think
it versus
you...
what you've seen.
Yeah. Huh. But yeah, it's there. I ain't gonna watch more of it, and that's okay.
There's definitely a chance of not caring.
I don't know if I
don't care.
I didn't like that they did the thing that I hate, which is where you bring up something that you're doing or that you did, you call it stupid, but then you still did it. And they did that with Thanos, where he's like,
oh, lampshade.
He shows up and he's like, yeah, I did my thing. And, you know, T'Challa stopped him and it's like, yeah, your plan was stupid because it was basically just genocide. And he's like, nah, I had some points. Like, no, you didn't, nigga. You had to what? Let's get your bald head out of here. You were just committing genocide.
Yeah, I think his argument was that it's not genocide because it's random.
He didn't even say that in this, but...
Oh, he says it later in the show.
Ah, okay.
Which...
It's still genocide.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Like, I don't think it's the... I don't know. We don't need to get into genocide definitions. But he killed a lot of people. It was bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, this has been 10 Minute Takes.
Yeah.
All right. For the first time in who knows how long, we have fan comments. So let's speed through them.
Oh, Lord.
No, don't be scared. They're not bad.
Nigga.
Okay.
No, we're fine.
I saw our most recent one.
Yeah. It's some...
Oh, I forgot about that one. That's not even
Oh, my God.
All right. You know what? I am going to read that. All right. So first comment coming from YouTube is on the Superman reaction. This one is from someone named Michael Scott. All right. It says, the fact that you didn't say, quote, American way, end quote, screams your, wrong version of your, a liberal. If Kamala was in, then you would say American way.
For the record.
This is a common misconception.
No, I wouldn't, because fuck this country.
Honestly, yeah. There's a common misconception that people who don't like conservatives or Donald Trump's punk ass are fans of Kamala. I am not. And if I was, and she won, still not be a fan of America, because it sucks.
Also, Superman should be a hero for everybody, so...
That is one thing I did like about the IMDb summary I didn't read, is that they say the human way instead of the American way, which feels a little basic, because it's like, humans? But... You know,
yeah, but that's
like a better tomorrow that the comics are doing.
Yeah, I feel like, but at the same time, the human way, he gives a whole speech near the end that kind of is that. So I feel like it works.
It fits the movie. I'm a human. I got a family. I come from Kansas. All right, moving on.
He didn't say Kansas.
No, he didn't say it in the movie. He wouldn't out himself like that. YouTube. Still on YouTube. We have one from the Peter Pan reaction from like a year ago.
From a while ago.
Yeah.
From Maybe someone. 2 years ago.
Man, from someone named Alex, and they said, I like Peter Pan. I'm a big fan. Well, Alex,
so am I.
You and Demir are on the same page.
I love Peter Pan.
Shout out to the Peter fans. Back to the present on our trailer reaction for the Superman trailer. Comment from someone named Mason, who just says, looking good, Cassie.
Thanks.
Hey.
Wild.
Yeah. Is it wild?
Yeah.
Being wild for people on YouTube to say nice things?
I mean, yeah, okay. Sometimes, say that again.
That part actually is.
Yes, it is.
I'm just saying, we had 3 comments on YouTube. 2 of them were good. So, mathematically. Moving on from YouTube to, of all places, Facebook. I didn't even think people still did Facebook comments.
Right?
But, yeah, we have a Facebook. Jurassic World Rebirth reel. Comment from someone named Charlie that says, they are in love. Heart emoji, kissing face. With each other, stay together. Smile, face,
what?
Heart emoji. I think they're talking about...
I'm assuming they're talking about Scarlet. Zora and Henry.
Yeah, Zora and Henry. Because like, in the real...
Yeah.
Demi talks about how it could be like the Eevee West. And...
Okay. Rick and Eevee. Yeah. They are... That comment is not wrong. I think you are correct, fully.
Yeah, they're in love.
I think the story should push forward with that.
Yeah. You should blow her back out on an island.
I don't know Go about all that, but...
Okay, make movies horny again or not, again? Demi. What are we doing? What are we doing here?
Right.
I feel like if they're on an island, it means that there are dinosaurs.
No, you're making that assumption. He said an island. They could be at a Sandals resort.
Every time Not they the end island. Up on an island, there are dinosaurs. That's how this series goes.
I'm just saying. You don't got to do it in front of the T-Rex.
You could also do it before everything goes to hell.
True. Blow her back out on a boat. I don't know. Whatever you choose.
All right, next comment.
That's a Dr. Seuss book.
Blow her back out on a boat. Blow her back out with a float. Yeah. Moving to TikTok.
Oh my gosh.
Our post about the horny Lois and Clark interview from Superman in the 70s. Someone named The Real Robin Payne says, this is my favorite movie of all time. I didn't get this scene until my mid-20s, LOL. And you know, Robin?
I love that.
Yeah.
I get it. Because those questions sound normal until you think about them when you're older. And it's like, wait, what do you mean? Do you eat? What do you mean? How big are you? What do you mean, bend me over this couch? Moving on to our most popular post of today, Megan 2.0. We have several comments. Shout out to Megan.
Yo.
We love it. Someone named Legal Assassin. That's a fun name. They said, I feel like it just had bad marketing, which I don't know. The first movie definitely had better marketing.
I mean, the marketing, I feel like, told me exactly what it was. It's an action movie starring Megan.
The first movie was like, I don't know, I think they went really hard with the marketing in the first one. And the second was just like, hey, Megan's back.
Was the first one a summer movie?
The first movie came out in like January or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, maybe it shouldn't have been a summer movie.
I don't know. I just don't know. But thank you, Legal Assassin, for the comment. Someone named Cam said, literally loved both. I don't care. I feel you, Cam. I also love both the Megan movies. I love all the Megan movies, in theory. Someone named Francis Farron left two comments. First one says, Megan makes a great superhero with Superman, Batman, Hulk, Wonder Woman, and the rest. Heart smiley.
Get that crossover going. Let's go.
That would be a crazy crossover.
Put her in the Justice League.
Next Superman movie, put her in the Justice Gang.
Hell yeah, I'm with it. Francis also commented a separate comment saying, was great superhero / horror movie. They're really doubling down on this superhero thing.
That kind of is what that movie is, though.
Yeah, as much as T2 is a superhero movie, it's like you have a robot fighting an evil robot. That's very superhero-y.
Yeah, but even T2 didn't have that scene. Like, the scene of Megan doing the para-jumping, whatever it's called. I can't remember what that one's particularly called right now.
Mm.
But through the mountain cliffs and stuff like that, that's a superhero.
Yeah, shout out to Megan. She's a superhero. She is titanium. Damon Beast left a comment, says, I saw the movie. I enjoyed it too. Thumbs up, smiley face. Shout out you, Damon. I'm with you. I'd see it again.
I also really enjoyed that movie.
And that's my favorite thing about it, because I'm so happy that Demi liked this movie.
Is this your gateway?
No, it's not a horror movie.
No.
Yeah.
You should watch the first one.
That's why I went to go see it.
For context.
Honestly, yeah.
How that do you know where she is if you don't know where she's been?
They give a lot of recap.
That's deep.
No, but you gotta understand.
We'll see how I feel. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Fair.
Maybe one day. I won't straight up say no.
Love that. Love that openness. And our last comment from Megan 2.0 is from Juan Arauz. It says, Jenna Davis, you are outstanding. Two clap emojis, two laugh emojis. I agree completely. Jenna Davis is outstanding. Her performance is worth two applauses and two laughs. More than two laughs. And we're back to Jurassic World Rebirth on TikTok. We posted a reel from Jurassic World Rebirth. Yeah, people are commenting. It's crazy, right? We have an audience. Or at least people have TikTok and they found us. Someone named Eddie Anderson, 6480, said, there will be more. Remember what they have at the end. Sequel time. I'll be honest with you, Eddie. I don't remember the end.
It doesn't matter. You know there are going to be more Jurassic World movies.
Yeah, like, you don't need to tell me what happened at the end. It's a Jurassic movie. They're going to make a sequel.
I saw the box office numbers.
Yeah, like that. But you're right. Sequel time. It always is.
And you know what? I'm okay with that just because I like these characters so much.
Yeah. And we need to see where he's going to blow her back out.
I honestly feel like she's going to blow his back out based on that character
dynamic. You know what? It is past time. Give us like a full-on pegging scene in a movie. And I'm not talking just a brief one in Deadpool. No. I'm saying a full, treat it like a sex scene. Let's go. It is 2025.
We're going to circle back to that.
Okay.
Our last comment of the day is also on the Jurassic World Rebirth TikTok post. It is from Carlitos, and it says, bro fell like 100 feet and got saved by a leaf. And honestly, I also thought it was ridiculous that Fierro survived that fall, because I was like, oh, he just died.
You know,
they did this whole thing about like, don't fall.
I did spend that whole moment going, how are they going to stop this from happening?
Right, like he's falling.
This is a bit of a tangent, but it does remind me of like how many times you see people fall from a ridiculous height and land in water and be fine. When at a certain point you reach terminal velocity, that water is going to hit like concrete and you would die.
Yeah.
That's how that movie goes.
Love that.
But he hits a leaf. He hits a few leaves before he hits the water.
Are they big leaves?
So I guess that's supposed to slow.
Like,
yeah, they are.
Like Carlito says.
Okay.
Save by some leaves.
Yeah, I'm with it.
And that has been Different Opinions. It's the first one we've done in a while because people are actually talking to us now. Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
we appreciate
that's
it.
Great.
And that's it. That's the thing. We did it. We did the reviews. We did the 10-minute take. We did Different Opinions. Remember,
for us.
We don't do news anymore. You want news? Go on the internet.
It's not that we don't do news anymore. We just don't have the time.
Yeah, so we don't do it. But we might at some point. It's really up to us because we are our own bosses. Except for Demi's actual boss, because she has a job, and that's why we don't do it right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks, audience. Thank you for listening, especially the ones who comment. Thank you more. You are better. Thank you, Crown Digital, Brandon, and Io, for putting us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Demi, thank you for editing. Thank you for putting us on YouTube. Thank you for giving Cassie someone to thirst with, even though she didn't really dive in as much as she should have.
She gave us her initial thoughts and then disappeared.
Listen, I don't need to dive in. I need him to dive into me. You know what I'm saying?
There it is.
There we go.
I was going to say that earlier when you said you're not super into Superman. I was like, you want Superman to be super into you?
You are so right.
Yeah, exactly. I did see a Letterboxd review that was bisexuality is when you're attracted to both David Corn Sweat's dimples and Rachel Brosnahan with a pin in her mouth.
Mm. That's a very Demi-coded Letterboxd review. Thank you, Cassie, for actually watching one of the things we reviewed today.
Yeah.
That's always a treat.
I love that. Yeah. I also really love that you liked the movie, especially because you've been so like not into superheroes. I think that says a lot for the movie, to be honest.
I mean, this probably could have gone in the review, but ironically enough, this movie does for me what Guardians of the Galaxy did for me, that it reminds me that it can just be joyous.
Mm.
Love that.
And I think that sometimes we lose that.
I feel that. And we need that.
Yeah.
Especially in our silly superhero concept.
Like, I'm sorry, but he saves a squirrel. That's
oh,
peak.
I love that. That was great. That's Superman. Audience, you can reach us in the comments if you want, because we will read them out loud, probably. Don't say anything crazy. Or say it. I don't care. I'm going to read it anyway.
Don't say any slurs. I'll say that.
Don't say any slurs. That's unhinged. That's bad. Don't be bad.
That will actually get deleted, to be honest.
Yeah, we can't have slurs on our comment section. This isn't that kind of place. This isn't Truth Social. Or you can hit us on Instagram and Tumblr at Creative Differences Podcast, or Facebook.com/Creative Differences PC, or TikTok at Creative Differences Pod. If you want to talk to me about the DC animated universe, because I'm going to say that every time we talk about something DC, you can find me on Instagram or Letterboxd at a King Named Simba, or Serialized, because that's a TV thing. Serialized at a King Named Simba.
Branding.
Yeah.
Come talk to me about how hot Superman is in this movie, because I felt things I was not expecting to feel. You can find me on Blue Sky.
I'm so glad that you're on the Superman is hot train.
He's so hot. Oh my God. Anyway, you can find me on Blue Sky, Sassy Soothsayer.
Love me a Kryptonian. If you guys would like to read my far more articulate and well-worded review of Superman, it is on my Letterboxd, which you can find at Demi Joua, Joua spelled J-O-I-E. I go into an entire paragraph, which I almost go into like a cinematic history analysis of why this is the Superman we need right now. I wasn't expecting to do that, but it happened, and I think it's really well written. So you guys should check that out, again, on my Letterboxd. Thanks again for joining us. Tune in next time. I'm pretty sure it'll probably be for Fantastic Four First Steps.
Makes sense.
Because that's going to be a movie that we really want to review.
Yes. And in between, we don't have a whole lot coming out that we are going to talk about.
We're working a lot, guys.
Yeah. And speaking of working, you can find Gabby at home working on that Florence Pugh AI and coming to terms with the fact that as a hologram, it cannot crush her head with its thighs.
Maybe one day.
Maybe one day we'll get the technology. Hopefully we don't. That sounds crazy.
That's like a Blade Runner 2049. Watch that movie. Highly recommend.
Yep. I know the scene you're talking about. Yeah, that's what Gabby's doing. All right. It's been different. Bye.
Bye.
Cassie.
Uh-oh.
Simple question.
Yeah.
Which two movie characters do you want to see peg each other?
Oh my God.
Wait, peg each other? Are they both doing it? I mean.
I don't know. It's really up to you. Just who's in the scene?
God, I don't know. I mean,
top of your head,
movie characters. I'm gonna say I want Mako to peg Raleigh in Pacific Rim because I feel like that would happen.
You said Mako, and I was like, huh? But
my brain went Pacific Legend Rim. Of Korra. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, wait, huh? But
the better Mako.
No further questions, Your Honor. We'll be right back.